Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Westwood for another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. I'm Dave Marcus, glad to have you with us. You know, it's summertime at UCLA, but that doesn't mean that things are sleepy. There's a lot going on, and we're going to find out what's going on behind the scenes in just a few moments. First, let's take a look at the upcoming fall events. It is a great pleasure to welcome our first guest back to UCLA Bruin Talk. She's not only the director of the UCLA Varsity Club, but she's a former co-host with me on this show, Courtney Casso. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dave.
Courtney, it's great to have you back here.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the UCLA Varsity Club. You are now finishing your first year as director of the club. First of all, tell our viewers, what is the UCLA Varsity Club?
Well, the Bruin Varsity Club is our letter winners association. There are letter winners associations across the country. And what it is our athlete alumni group, basically. So you have to qualify or to be eligible, you have to have just played a sport at UCLA, a varsity sport, which is translates to an NCAA sport. And you have to have lettered in that sport for one season. So lettering is really varies on the coaches. Being on the team doesn't necessarily guarantee that you letter. But just by lettering, you become automatically eligible to be a part of this club and this family. And it's an extension of that Bruin family with our goal is to get our athletes to connect to the university in whatever way possible, whether it's financially or giving back your time and effort to a young student athlete to be a mentor, which is a really, really great new program that we've started. And I can't believe it's been a year already, which is crazy, but it's been wonderful. And in the response and how our club has grown in terms of active members who are actually wanting to come back on campus and see our new facilities and our wooden den has been tremendous.
You mentioned the Bruin Varsity Club is engaged in some mentoring opportunities.
Yeah.
So explain what that's all about.
It's something that we've started new this year. We have now a mentoring and networking aspect of the Varsity Club. And truly, that's really the future of where we're bringing this program. So what it is we identified of our alumni who would want to be a mentor to young student athletes. And typically you don't volunteer to do that unless you've experienced a certain amount of success in your professional life. And it could be a recent graduate, can be a mentor who has just, let's say, graduated from medical school or law school. If they've gone through that process, our student athletes want to reach out to someone who has, you know, been in their shoes, and just hear their story. How did you get to where you're at? And the great part about that is we're not somebody to just hand jobs. We're here to connect people, but inevitably jobs are happening. Bruins are hiring Bruins. Our motto is, you know, Bruins helping Bruins, and that's what we're all about. And we've seen student athletes, young men and women, get internships with our alumni. And it's just this really wonderful cycle of helping those who came before or who are coming after you because you know their perspective. And you know, the job economy is so difficult right now. So to have that little bit of confidence as you go out into the real world and then to have somebody present you an opportunity is just really great. And that's where we're at right now. And we have about 200 active mentors. And starting from, you know, zero a year ago to 200 people actively, even if it's just a phone call, it's just been overwhelmingly positive from both the student athlete side and the alumni side, who are excited. You know, they're excited to give back. They want to give back. It's just they haven't really been asked, and they didn't know they could. So
you're a former Bruin athlete. Yes. You were a midfielder, forward on the soccer team. Mm-hmm. You got to love what Lauren Cheney's doing in the World Cup.
It warms my heart. It's so wonderful because when I got back reconnected with UCLA, I was doing some color commentary for soccer, and to watch Lauren play a sport that, you know, I was once on that team. Never was I ever on Lauren Cheney's level, but she's special, you know, and a lot of our student athletes are special. And then now to see her taking it to the world stage and to score that first goal in that first game was, it was tremendous. It's so exciting to see how well she's doing, and she's only going to get better and represent us well, and we love her.
You mentioned how you reconnected with UCLA, and I think the Bruin Varsity Club is a way that didn't exist in the past for
right.
people to reconnect. I mean, obviously, 107 national championships, UCLA is on top of the heap.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, athletes would finish their career, and, you know, they had their memories, but they didn't have active engagement with their former colleagues and with students who came after them.
Right.
Now the Bruin Varsity Club gives that opportunity.
Yeah.
Tell us what events you have. It's not just all mentoring and serious stuff. I mean, there's fun and games, too.
Absolutely.
Tell us about some of the events that the Varsity Club sponsors.
No, it's a lot of fun. We throw quarterly events. One huge event that we do is our homecoming Varsity Club tailgate party, which is at the Rose Bowl. Last year we had, it's growing numerically every year. Last year we had about 1,000 people. Only former student athletes are invited, plus their families and guests, so you get a great mix of people. So we throw that. We had a live band. It's camaraderie. We do the 8 clap. You know, the band walks through, team walks by. So we try to do an event tied to a UCLA current athletic event. So we'll do the homecoming tailgate. This year it'll be against the Cal game. Then we'll have an event in the winter, and maybe that's tied to a basketball game. We try to switch it up every year to not just focus on the basketballs and the footballs who get a lot of attention, but to focus on our Olympic sports. So we do quarterly events. We have reunions. We just had the 1971 men's basketball reunion, Sidney Wicks, all those greats. So it changes every year, but there's consistently about 5 events that our alumni can come back, whether it be on campus, in Westwood, connect with people that you haven't seen in 5, 10, 20, 30 years, which is really exciting. One event that's coming up in November that I'm honored to be a part of is our Red Sanders single wingers. Our football guys come back, and there's some guys who are, you know, in their 90s, remembering their plays as if they were yesterday, better than I remember my time here. And to see how close they still are is not only an example for our younger student athletes to see, like, you're not just a Bruin for 4 years, you're a Bruin forever here too. And this varsity club started in 2006, and to have it and to see how it's grown, and like as you said, it's now the vehicle. This is how you connect. You're not just getting a phone call to, hi, this is so-and-so, we'd like your donation. No, it's we want you to come back, have fun, go to a party, give back financially, give back your time, whatever it is, we just want you part of our program.
Well, I remember at the tailgate a couple years ago at the Rose Bowl, it was mm-hmm. fascinating seeing athletes, you know, a gymnast from 1998 talking with a football player from 1954.
Yeah.
There was a great interplay of people that really would never have another opportunity mm-hmm. to get together and talk about their experiences at UCLA.
Yeah, it is really interesting because, you know, when you're here as a student athlete, some student athletes tend to only socialize within the student athlete bubble. Maybe it's only with certain teams. But when you leave, you're not just a soccer player. You're a Bruin alum. You're part of this humongous team. We have 11,000 former athletes in the varsity club. So, yeah, you're just connecting with someone that you automatically have a shared story and love. And it's so much fun to just see how it's grown through the generations and hear the stories of, when I was here, we didn't have this, and now you got this. It's great to just share the experience.
Our Bruin Talk show, now visible not only on the UCLA website and on the local cable systems, mm-hmm. but on UCTV around the country. And there may be some Bruin athletes, former Bruin athletes, who are watching this who want to know, how do I get involved in this? What's the next step?
Thank you. No, that's a great question. A couple ways you can get involved. One is going to the UCLA website, UCLABruins.com. That's really the portal for everything UCLA. So anything you need about UCLA, you go there. BruinVarsityClub.com is a micro site of that website. So which one you go to, you're going to get to the same page. Call me, email me. My information's on the website. It is me running this program, but we have a lot of support and people who are helping. So it's just as simple as going online if you're a former student athlete, filling out your stay in touch contact info, and that's all you need to do. All you need is we need to know where you are so we can reach out, and then it's our job to tell you what we have for you know to offer our Bruin family, our extended family. So it's easy. Just go to our website is the best way.
I know you were recently gratified. You went to a national conference, and you got together with a lot of people who are in your same position. And a lot of the clubs have existed for a long time. UCLA's is, as you mentioned, fairly recent.
Yeah.
But I think you were very gratified about the progress you've made.
It was an incredible learning experience to see, you know, like the Notre Dames and the Wisconsins who have been around, as you said, for over 100 years and have done a really good job. And then to see the newer groups that are trying to form. And like us, we started in 2006 officially as the Varsity Club. And, you know, a lot of the beginning was just setting the foundation. And so where we are going with the mentoring and networking and how many active members we have, it was really gratifying to see we're on the stage. We're playing the game better than some people who have been around a long time. Now, we are UCLA, so I hold us to, you know, the best, highest standard possible. But it was really neat to see and to get the support of people in my position. It was just a really familial kind of atmosphere, and there were over 36 Division I schools represented, and everyone was really excited to talk to UCLA and see what we're doing, and we're doing it.
1 year into the job, you seem energized. You seem enthused about what it is you're doing. What's been the best part of being the director of the Bruin Varsity Club?
I'm a Bruin through and through. Grew up when my father went to UCLA, so it sounds cheesy, but it was a dream to be an athlete here. It's truly a dream to be working here, to just walk on campus and visually see what I get to call my office. Is pretty astounding. I went to law school. I'm kind of on a different path now and couldn't be happier about it. But to see our student athletes, to educate them on that there's a future for them where they're still connected and there's people that want to help and you're now part of this humongous family, that's the part that I love every single day. I mean, I've got meetings with student athletes all the time, alumni who wanting to reach out, and it's so different. You know, I'm talking to different people. It's customer service. It's people want to connect to people, and that's what I get to do every day. That's my job, and I get to be creative, which is really rare in the business world to be able to create things. And we've got, you know, Dan Guerrero is just so supportive, and to be part of a program where you are given support and confidence in your role is pretty nice.
Now you have a lot of young students. You are a recent grad, Courtney. It's all relative.
I guess.
And you've got a lot of young students who are going through you and helping connect with the Bruin past. What's been the nicest thing about teaching them about the UCLA tradition?
To see and to educate our recent graduates on, hey, this is here for you, and you know, I'm connecting with people I was with, and then they see kind of a familiar face or name, and that part has been again, it's a way that we grow, but it's really nice to see our student-athlete alumni say, how cool that UCLA is still giving something to us. I mean, we got this amazing degree, and they're still there for us. So that's been the most gratifying part, is just letting people know who we are, what we are, what we do.
Courtney, always great to see you on Bruin
Talk,
no matter what side of the table you're
on.
And we'll be back with more Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
And welcome back to Westwood for more UCLA Bruin Talk. In a moment, we'll meet our next guest, but first we'd like to honor our Student Athlete of the Week, and what a week he had. This week we honor Patrick Cantlay, for his outstanding performance in three professional golf tournaments during the month of June. Patrick was 14 under combined in 12 rounds of the U.S. Open, the Travelers Championship, and the AT&T National, and he shot a ridiculous 10 under par 60 in the second round of the Travelers. He finished that tournament tied for 24th. Following the 2011 NCAA tournament play, Patrick was honored with the Jack Nicklaus Award for Division I Player of the Year, in addition to his Phil Mickelson National Freshman of the Year and Pac-10 Freshman and Player of the Year honors. Throughout the 2011 collegiate season, the young player won three tournaments, held the consensus number one ranking, and was one of three finalists for the Hogan Award, an honor for the nation's top collegiate golfer. Patrick Cantlay's freshman season has been full of accomplishment and success to stay the least. Congratulations, Patrick. A rookie season well played, and the best of luck in upcoming PGA play. And Patrick, thank you for coming back to UCLA and not going pro immediately. That's an incredible thing you've done, and it's wonderful to see. If you'd like more information about UCLA athletics, please visit the website at www.uclabruins.com. Well, now we meet our next guest, and our next guest is an assistant athletic performance coach at UCLA, Jacqueline Harris. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Hi.
I saw you get a big smile on your face when we talked about Patrick Cantlay, because you worked with Patrick.
Yes.
How does one work on strength and conditioning with a golfer?
We do a lot of rotary strength. We do stability, power. We do a little bit of everything, just like all the other sports. We train total body. We start very simple. Most of my golfers haven't had any strength and conditioning to begin with. But with him, you know, we started from the ground up, just starting simple body weight exercises. But, you know, being able to be powerful, control your core, control your hips. They're a pretty interesting sport in the fact that they're really attuned to how their body moves, and they're attuned to, you know, being able to stabilize one part of their body while mobilize the other part. You know, you have to have torso mobility, hip stability, hip mobility, torso stability. You have to be able to have a lot of T-spine mobility up in your middle of your upper back. So they're a total body sport. They're a ton of fun to work with.
You had to be going crazy watching Patrick's performance in the U.S. Open, coming in as an amateur, 18-year-old freshman, making the cut.
And taking the lead at one point. So, yeah, he's an incredible athlete. He's a hard worker. You know, he's come a long way in the weight room with me as far as strength and conditioning goes. So he definitely deserves any recognition he's getting right now and all the success he's having.
We talked a lot about the summertime is not a time off for the student athletes. Athletic performance, a lot of times you hear the phrase, the groundwork is made during the summer. How important is the summer strength and conditioning program to the athletes as they go into the competition year?
You know, it totally depends on the sport. For certain sports like football, obviously summer is crucial. Basketball, summer is crucial. Golf and tennis, that's still when they're still playing. They're still in tournaments. So for them, the strength and conditioning isn't the primary focus during the summer. Now, during the fall, it's a much more integral part of what they're doing and their training at that point.
You're a former rower. You rowed at the University of San Diego, so ergometers were a big part of your daily routine. How did you get involved in the coaching aspect, and particularly athletic performance coaching?
I started actually at USD, walked on as a rower, which a lot of people do, and my favorite part about it was the strength and conditioning side of things. I loved being in a collegiate weight room. I loved the training. So it kind of got me thinking. I was a team captain for 2 years. So I really liked being in a leadership role, and I had great, great relationships with my coaches. You know, my strength and conditioning coach at University of San Diego, he also ended up going to University of Washington, then is now at Stanford, and then my rowing coach who was at Florida and now at USD. I just had great relationships, and they really impacted the person I was and my success in college as a student and as an athlete, and so I really wanted to be able to involve myself with other student athletes and help give back in the way that people gave to me.
You talked about hanging out in college weight rooms. How's the Acosta Center? Pretty good facilities for the UCLA athletes.
It's an unbelievable facility. Our equipment is unbelievable, you know, from the Kaiser machines to the platforms to the dumbbells. You have it. You name it, we have it. Our resources are unbelievable.
And we talked about the conditioning you need for golf. You're also working with the women's basketball team very closely. I imagine that's a much different workout program than for a golfer.
Yes, significantly different. Starting with conditioning and agilities. We don't do that kind of stuff with golf. They really don't. They need conditioning, but they don't need agilities like a basketball player does. So basketball player, we've worked on acceleration mechanics. We've worked on max velocity. We've worked on all different kind of lateral movement, forward movement, backward movements. Agility is a big part of what we do with them, especially in the spring when we start. We break it down, acceleration. We do a lot of sled pulls, hill running, wall drills, all different kinds of drills to help you improve your ability to go from 0 to 60 as fast as possible. So that's the basics of it. Now, connections between golf and basketball and every other sport is your core. You know, every athlete definitely needs the ability to engage their core, activate their core muscles. It's your power transfer from your lower body to your upper body. So that's, you know, there's similarities, but there are a lot of differences.
You're going to be going to Italy with the team in August. That will be a great way to get to know all the players.
Great way. I'm very excited. It'll be a great bonding experience for the whole staff. It's our first road trip together, so yes, first road trip, go big.
How many people are coaches in the athletic performance department?
We currently have, three in my office, currently six.
And of the six, you've got a lot of student athletes, 700 student athletes here at UCLA. How do you divide up what sports you're going to work with?
You know, we have certain coaches that work aquatic. It's basically a decision by the head man. But we have one coach that comes in and just works basketball. We try and keep similar sports grouped together. So all the aquatic sports are kind of grouped together. You know, swimming and diving go hand in hand, even though they're very different. But they're scheduling, water polo scheduling, they're kind of, you kind of have to balance those things. So keeping that coach in the same type of sport is definitely helpful. But other than that, there's different, you know, men's volleyball is different than women's volleyball. And I have both men's and women's golf and men's and women's tennis. So they're kind of grouped together with me. But gymnastics is Fussell. It's just kind of all over the board. You know, I know John Fussell's worked gymnastics and track forever and ever and ever. So the head man has football, and then Mike Lynn has football, and then softball, and then he has a couple assistants working alongside him to help out with football because it's a big team.
When you're preparing a workout program, I mean, I imagine you have to be pretty careful about the kind of exercises you've got the athletes in a certain sport doing. You don't want to build the wrong muscles. You don't want to take away flexibility where you need flexibility. How much academic work is there that goes into planning out the exercise regimen for the players?
You never know enough. You never, ever, ever know enough. I start with the functional movement screen with my basketball players. With golfers, we do a more in-depth screen. It's actually from TPI, Titleist Performance Institute. And it's they're both movement screens testing mobility, stability, and imbalances that you're going to see in their body. So then when we go towards training them, it's not really building the wrong muscles or the right muscles. It's more about building a balanced body and strengthening the proper areas. But you know, you can build a muscle that you think is correct, and it's, if you create an imbalance, it's not going to help them at all. So we focus in the beginning, we focus a lot on creating a balanced body and correcting imbalances.
You mentioned that when you were a student athlete, you loved to be in the weight room. There are some student athletes who do not love to be in the weight room. How much of a psychologist do you have to be to get the athletes motivated to come in and put in the work?
It's definitely a little bit of a game. You know, you have to pull on your creative side a little bit, pull on your creative juices. It's been a challenge because, you know, you want to have every athlete that just loves to be down there and is dying to lift weights and is dying to be faster and stronger, but that's not the case. So you really have to build on team. You know, this is not about just you, it's about the team, and you need to do what you need to do to get better. But we definitely throw in competitive, because they're all competitive athletes, they love competition. So we try and make our training a little more competitive. You know, we get competitions going in the weight room with pull-ups or push-ups, or not that it's doing much for their performance, but it does help them track that they're getting stronger and compete with their teammates. We do competitive drills on the court with women's basketball. You know, we break it up into guards and posts, and we go 2.5 minutes per station, and we get in competitive counting reps on certain things like heavy med ball throws and number of times through ladder drills. And so they start competing with each other, try and get more reps and try and not knock over the hurdles, that kind of stuff. And then when we run sprints, you know, they get extra points. We do a point system. They get extra points for making their time or making it faster than they were supposed to. And then they could end up running less. So you give them some incentives here and there, kind of make them feel like there's some reward for working hard.
How will the workout program change from the summertime to October, November, when the season starts?
When the season starts, we go in more of maintenance, focus heavily on correcting just activation drills, their ability to activate their glutes, activate their core muscles. So we do a lot of core exercises. A lot of soft tissue release, like foam rolling. We'll spend a good 20 minutes foam rolling for a workout. So it's a lot of recovery, and it's also based on the type of workout that they have and what game is ahead. So we're very attentive to what's going on with their basketball schedule. So, you know, I don't absolutely destroy their arms or their legs in the weight room, and then they have to go in and shoot, and they can't shoot a ball.
Is there ever too much? I mean, do you have to sometimes have athletes put the brakes on because they're working out too hard, too much?
Oh, of course. Of course. You can overtrain so quickly, so easily. And especially, you know, athletes are college athletes, I think, have it the hardest out of any athletes because they have to balance school and they have to balance work and they have to balance what we want of them. So they can overtrain without even just, not just physically, but mentally. So you have to be very attuned to how they're responding to what you're doing with them. And some athletes may not adjust very well, so you may have to back one athlete down while you push an athlete a little bit harder.
It's all an interesting part that the fans never get to see, and we hope you've enjoyed talking with Jacqueline, who has given us an insight into the hard work student-athlete puts in. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here.
And thank you for joining us on UCLA Bruin Talk. I'll be back next week with another interesting show. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.